So you're recording?
Yep.
All right, so here's your mic. Right. You can either hold your microphone here or...
Let's hold it.
Or you can connect it, clip it, tip it on there. All right, so this is a beautiful sunny day in Los Angeles, isn't it?
Yep.
So here we are at the beautiful, illustrious Susan Miller Dorsey High School. My name is Larry Wiggs, and I'm recording a podcast here on the playground. For IC-10-9. That's the name of this.
Okay.
Right? IC-10-9.
What does IC-10-9 mean? Or does it stand for?
Well, it's just a three-digit number that I happen to see throughout my travels around the globe. Mm-hmm. I would happen to see those numbers and...
Together or, like, separate?
Always like that. 109. And not 901, not 1, not 0,
109.
109, yeah. And so... the reason why that those numbers mean anything to me is because it alludes to my birthday, October 9th. The 10 is 10, and the 9, that's the 9th day. So my thing is, you know, in life, we have the power to make things or make anything mean what we want.
Yeah.
We are creative, and so we can do, you know, with our creations what we will. Mm-hmm. So, Amir, you are a student at Dorsey High School.
Yep.
And you're a creative. You're a creative, okay?
As much as I try to be, at least, you know.
All right. But you have a desire to create because I've heard you mention fashion before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to know. This is going to be a recording for posterity.
Okay.
You know what that means?
I have an idea, but I can't say I know the exact definition.
Well, that means what we do today, you know, you're going to have a record, you know, in the future that you can always look back on.
Yeah.
And so anyone can always look back on this time and say, oh my gosh, you know, that was Amir before he, you know, created his fashion line. That's for posterity, you know, for future generations is really what it means, for future generations.
Okay, I get you.
So, I was asking you about... You know,
high school.
Yeah, after high school. And you mentioned a gap year.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts at this point, at this particular juncture in your life, this time in your life as a senior?
As a senior.
As a senior at Dorsey High School. Talk to me.
Well, at this point in time in my life right now, 17, about to be 18 in June. After high school... You know, when I was younger, I didn't really have much to, like, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, like, after high school. But as I've gone through things and whatnot and fallen more into, I guess, into a place of who I, not going to say who I am, but who I want to become to be, you know, it's kind of all kind of opened up. But after high school, I want to take a gap year. Definitely want to take some time, or I want at least a year, take that time to, I don't know what's going on over there, but.
So you don't want to rush into anything?
No, that's the thing. So I really want to take my time. I want the gap year to be at least, or maybe not. I want to have definitely, I'm going to start my brand during the gap year. That's what I'm going to do. But I'm also going to take that time to travel and also work on myself and get rid of some bad habits and other things like that, so I can be like, I just want to become the person that I want to be. But I feel like before going into college and whatnot, I have to like kind of like lock in. Like, you know, there's things like, one thing I struggle with, I know that, like, I do, I know a lot of people do too, is like, what's the word? It starts with a P, when you like want to do something.
Procrastination,
yeah. And it'd be like, really hard to just like get past that, you know. You'd be like, oh, I must do this, I'm gonna do this, and these be things you want to do. It's like one thing to know what you want to do.
Yes.
Well, it's another thing to not know what you want to do at all.
Okay.
There's another thing to know what you want to do, and another thing to know like what you have to do to reach there, and there's another thing of actually just doing it, you know. I've kind of reached a point where I like know what I want to do. I know how to get there. I kind of know how to get there. I know how to take the first steps and whatnot. And after that, the path will open up as it goes.
Right, right.
But.
Yeah, you definitely have to take the initial steps.
Yeah.
And then you also have to have, you know, perseverance, tenacity, because, you know, just doing one thing at one time, it doesn't, you know, all the success isn't going to come. Mm-hmm. And so it's a constant re-engineering. You have to take a step forward. You have to make an assessment of how well you, you know, met your goal.
Yeah.
And then you have to try again. Try again. And, you know, what's beautiful is that process of trying is a successful process. Every time that you make an attempt, you know, you are successful, even though, you know, you may not think, oh, you know, that was my best work, or that was that's what I wanted. That was the vision. No, that was a success. But then you're just going to rework it and then continue on.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you mentioned travel.
Yeah.
You want to travel during your gap year. So talk to me about where you see yourself traveling.
Well, hopefully if everything goes according to plan, I should be going to Seoul. It's called Seoul.
Yeah, Korea. It's called Seoul.
Seoul, Korea. Right after I get out of high school.
Seoul, like Seoul Brothers. Do you have Seoul? You are a brother. Do you like Seoul food?
I do like Seoul food.
All right. Yeah, that's the name of the capital city in South Korea.
Yeah.
And okay. So you're interested in Asia.
Well, that's just a trip that I'm going on. But yeah, I have been interested. I'm not sure if it's something that I'll like. Be like, oh, I want to be there for like forever, or this, or whatever. But I definitely would do want to visit. I also want to take that time, even though I'm only going to like really tour and whatnot. I do want to take that time to like at least get my hands on some like clothes. Maybe if I could go to like some like different I guess brands and whatnot over there, fashion lines over there, because Japanese denim is like kind of crazy. And I like really want to. That might be something I would do studying abroad, like in Japan. Like for a fashion designer or something like that, so I can like get inspiration of myself and also learn and whatnot. Because I've also realized that outside of just creating a brand, because before I didn't want to like actually doing the hand knitting stuff and hand doing myself, but now I realize that there's a lot more to it and what I want to create, not just having like a brand, but also like making like literal pieces, like fashion statements and whatnot. Okay. And I've come to school wearing a few fashion statements, and I like how, you know. Well, it's a fashion statement. People are like, oh, wow, that's cool. It's this, that, whatever, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, thank you. But my thing is, like, you know, it's one thing to be wearing it, but it's another thing to wear it. I mean, to make it.
Okay.
And I realize that's something that I got to, like, work on. I got to, like, learn how to, like, do a whole bunch of different things so I could, like, attain that. You know what I mean?
Okay, so let me ask you. Do you have experience with sewing? Making your own garments?
No, but I have like 3 sewing machines in my house. I could, because my mom sews, my sister sews.
The reason why I asked that is like, yeah, my mom had sewing machines as well. Mm-hmm. And she was always telling me, you know, to learn how to sew. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I was in high school and what I was thinking of as being a success was, you know, business, and you always had to wear a suit and, you know, and my ideal was, of a success was, you know, just earning money, you know, and maybe paying someone else to clothe me, you know, to be a tailor or what have you. But the thing about it is, what my mom was telling me, and I think what maybe your mom is telling you as well, is that there's value, there's great value in the knowledge of sewing. Because in your case, you know, you want to design clothes, you know, so if you put some effort, perhaps during your gap year.
Yeah, definitely.
Learn.
That's another point of the gap year. Not just like, well, I'm focusing on my brand, focusing on making money during that time too. But I'm also focusing on myself. Cause I know that, like, you know, well, also like just taking like little skills. I feel like people like kind of forget and just go straight to college and stuff like that. I don't want to go straight to college without having something built up for myself then, because I'll really be like by myself then. I don't plan on really like being here or really trying to like rely on my parents any longer.
Okay.
But, you know, it takes a lot of discipline to be that, to do that. And that's why I'm taking the gap year, to really discipline myself and start things up for me, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, being in Los Angeles, You know, we all of us, we have access to, you know, like the fashion district, mm-hmm. the garment district. Yeah. You know, they have so many places you can buy clothes or you can buy garments that have already pre-made. And that's something that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
I bought some, you know, shirts and sweatshirts and put my logo on them. So I'm familiar with that. But you want to design. You want to fully design the clothes.
I wouldn't be opposed to, like, taking something that someone's already made and, like, doing, like, just adding, like, a design on it for right now. But what I do want to do, I mean, because most of the times what people do in the first place is kind of take something that's already made, like, take these jeans and add their things onto
yes.
it and start sewing on top
yes.
of it. Like, one thing I really wanted to do, and I hadn't really seen, I think I might have seen it a few times before, but recently I just saw it because I went to the black swap meet, or
the black swap meet.
What's it called? The black flea market. The black flea market.
And the they have black flea market.
Yeah, it's where.
Talk to me. Tell me about this.
Actually, I bought some clothes from there. I'm gonna wear one of the pants. Actually, I didn't wear it then.
Wait. My question is, what makes it the black flea market?
I think it's. I'm not sure if it's started by black people, but you know, a whole bunch of black vendors and whatnot can go there,
really
sell stuff and whatnot. It's not only for black people, but a lot of black people go there. You'll find a lot of like important people or whoever decides to be there, but you can find some like pretty influential people sometimes.
All right, so where is this?
It was right now. It's
Leimert Park.
No, it's near like Gage. Is that Central? I think it's called Central.
You know the history of Central Avenue in Los Angeles?
I don't. What is it?
Well, it's a very black. It has very black history. So we had the jazz, the history of like the jazz musicians. You know, mm-hmm. jazz is a wholly black American invention, right?
Well, I know it. Well, didn't. Maybe I got that backwards. I was gonna say it wasn't like jazz. Did not derive from rock. But I might have it backwards. I think rock derived from jazz.
Well, I'll say this, you know, all music has its origin mm-hmm. in black culture in Africa and you know, black American culture as well.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're talking about rock music, then you have to talk about Little Richard, mm-hmm. Chuck Berry, if you're talking about and you know, Jimi Hendrix as well. But if you're and then the blues, you have to talk about the blues before you're even you know, before there's a hip hop, there was the blues, you know. There are connections that go back to these types of music, and it's all black.
Mm-hmm.
The person to listen to for the history is the brother Chuck D of Public Enemy.
I've heard of him. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, he shares his knowledge, you know, freely. But we were talking about
Central
Avenue, where the Black Flea Market could be located. But Central Avenue, so that was where a lot of jazz clubs were located. Mm-hmm. You know, Biddy Mason, who was the, what was she? She was one of the very first.
Oh, I've heard of her.
She was maybe one of the first multi-millionaires in Los Angeles, a black woman. And she owned property all along Central Avenue. Mm. So, you know, even if you go to Central Avenue today, then you can learn about the history and the culture of black Los Angeles, because that was a very important street for us, you know, like Crenshaw is today.
Yeah.
Crenshaw, when you think of Crenshaw, you think a lot about black culture. But at that time, Central Avenue was the location.
Mm.
So, all right. So you said the Black Flea Market, it may be somewhere near
you
there.
You know what? It's at a place called the Beehive. I'm not sure if that's Central Avenue.
The Beehive.
But the Beehive is, yeah.
Well, I'll have to do some research and check that out, and we'll, you gave me some information. You put me up on game. So, all right. So, what else?
Actually, how did I get to the Black Flea Market? I don't remember, but, I guess going on with the gap year, after the gap year, hopefully during that time, my goal is to at least start my brand and whatnot and start putting stuff out. Honestly, that's just a soft goal. That's like going to happen no matter what. I have to do it during that time. That's something that I'm setting for myself. But a real goal, I guess, would be to start making like money off of it for real. I mean, that's going to happen. I also want to start modeling. I want to start doing that beforehand.
All right, so you have a lot of lofty, you know, you have a lot of goals, you know, a lot of.
I have a lot of goals, but it's about how to get there. Okay. I mean, especially for the brand, because I have a whole story I want to go with it, you know, because I think I'm actually about having two brands. I'll make the other one maybe afterwards, because the clothes that I'll be making for like one of them wouldn't really fit like the, I guess, aesthetic for the other one.
Okay.
That I want to have. One's going to be more street clothing. One's going to be more kind of like, I want them both to be kind of like a little, I just want them to be different, I guess you could say. You know, it's kind of hard to make stuff that's different these days because everyone's kind of done a lot of things.
I think the lesson that I've learned is, you know, you just have to focus in on yourself or on your vision, you know, and you have to focus in. I think it was Nipsey, you know, who brought it to my attention. He said, you know, you have to focus on what makes you unique. Yeah. Focus on what makes you unique. So, you know, everyone could be doing whatever they're doing, but you've got to focus on what makes you who you are, you know, and makes your brand, you know, what it is and what it stands out. All right. Now, I'm glad you mentioned Japan and Korea, you know, because I lived in Korea.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been to Japan a number of times. Mm-hmm. And actually today I was watching a video about a young woman who's lived in Japan for about 8 years. And she was talking about her experience as a black woman in Japan. And the beautiful thing about her video is that, you know, she talked about how the Japanese didn't make her feel unwelcome in their country. You know, so many times, you know, here in America, we listen to the news and we have this we have these ideals about other people, about them being racist, about, you know, there being discrimination and things happening. And so she was able to report that, you know, none of that was her experience in Japan. She was just, and this woman literally walked the streets of Japan for like 5 hours. And she was like, do you notice the people staring at me? And for the most part, no one was staring at her. And everyone who saw her had something positive to say. Oh, you're beautiful. You look so cute. She was wearing traditional Japanese, you know, clothing in the video. So I think you are going to have, you know, a wonderful experience, you know, when you go to Japan and when you experience the culture. But what do you think about that, to contrast, you know, American life and Japanese life? Like in America, would you say that we do get these ideals about racism? You know, you're 17 years old. Mm-hmm. What's your idea of this, of these racial ideals here in America?
Well, I feel like it's definitely different. You know, one thing I have heard is that, like, in other places, at least the younger, I don't really hear too much anymore, but you'll hear, like, in other places, be like, oh, you know, it might not be as bad, but there still is racism in other places, like, in Asia and whatnot, this, that, whatever. But one thing I have learned, so, like, a skill that I have learned growing up, and it could be, like, a double-edged sword sometimes, but not necessarily, like, well, take everything with a grain of salt, in a sense. Like,
okay.
Don't necessarily believe everything that, or... everything that you hear the first time you hear it.
Okay.
It depends. Like, if it's not, you know, because honestly, there's a lot of things I feel like people just take and just, like, just be going on with it, but they didn't really do the research themselves to even, like, figure out if it was true. So I feel like with, like, that, a whole bunch of stereotypes in other places and whatnot, I feel like I just have to experience it for myself to see some. Now, I have been to France and whatnot, and I will say that the French are a little rude.
So you had an experience with the French.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why that is, but that just, they are just a tad bit rude, but I do really like the, I want to go back to France. No, it's definitely nice.
French. Well, I think France and Italy, those are the fashion, you know, capital sort of the world and all.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. France. There's a particular. See, my thing about, you know, travel is You know, we're going to embrace other cultures. One of the ways to embrace other cultures is, you know, through learning their customs and their languages and so forth and so on. But when we walk the earth as black people,
yeah,
I think that, you know, there's an influence, there's a history, there's a presence that we have that goes well beyond, you know, our knowledge, because we don't talk about it here. We don't learn about it all the time. But there's an experience that precedes us in many of these countries. I'll give you an example. I went on Ricky Stevenson's Black Paris Tours.
I think I went on that one.
What?
I think I went on that.
Ricky Stevenson's Black Paris Tour?
I don't know if it was Ricky Stevenson's, but I went on a Black Paris Tour. I know it was pretty, I think it was pretty popular. I think I went on that.
Wow, okay. I went on it too. And Ricky Stevenson, you know.
Wait, real quick. Did it talk about the one, the extra three musketeer, or one of the extra musketeers that were black? I think that.
Well, the author of the Three Musketeers was a black man.
Yeah.
Alexander Dumas, you know. There were actually about three or four different Dumas, the father and the sons. But yeah, they absolutely talked about the Three Musketeers because it was written by, you know, Dumas. So if you went on that tour, then kudos to you.
Yeah.
That's surprising to me. Like, wow. But, you know, what I learned on that tour was the African presence. You know, the name of Paris. Paris is Paris, means the place of Isis.
Mm.
And Isis, you know, is a Egyptian, you know, goddess, you know. But we run around saying Paris as if it means something, you know, French, yeah, when it has its origins in Egypt. You know?
There's a lot of things that we just say and whatnot, or words that haven't changed through, I guess, time and whatnot, that kind of have their origin in other places. Especially a lot of things, like, if I remember correctly, even the swastika wasn't originally, like,
Right. That's a symbol of peace.
Yeah, exactly.
That has been appropriated. That was appropriated by the Nazi Party, mm-hmm, to mean something evil and, you know, and bad. But it's always been a symbol of peace. So
I was supposed to take a I'm not sure if I'm still gonna do it, but I was supposed to be taking a trip to Egypt actually. I think in October. But I might end up doing that later on.
Well, whenever you travel, whenever you do it, then they say travel is the one thing that you buy that doesn't lose value. You know?
I think, honestly, I feel like a lot more people, you know, just looking at people, like, now, because I can't say I am pretty well traveled. Although I don't travel like every year, but I've traveled and I've been to a few places. And looking back, I can definitely say that depending on where you are and where you go, if you actually go travel places and are not just like inside tourist areas, it does humble you as a person.
Sure.
I think that like a lot more people wouldn't have the same mentality as they usually do if they were more traveled in a sense. In different places.
Absolutely. But
that's just, you know, I don't know.
Now, how about within California?
Like, where have I traveled within California?
Yes. Or Los Angeles.
Oh, Los Angeles. I've never been around everywhere in Los Angeles. Especially because I used to take the bus everywhere, so I just, like, you know, travel places. You know, it's crazy because in my middle school was in Glendale.
You've been to Glendale?
I used to have to take the bus to Glendale. Metro. I would always miss the school bus.
What were you doing missing the school bus?
I had to wake up at 5.
Oh, wow. 10. Wow, yeah.
Oh, I had to wake up before that. I had to get at the bus stop at 5:10 because it would take us like 2 hours to get from, I forgot what school that is, but.
And how long did you do that?
I was in sixth grade. I was like, what, 11? Something like that. So I did that for like a little while. No, I started doing that 12th grade. when I was 12. So, like, I 7th grade, 8th grade. And I think I had a few times in 6th grade, but in 6th grade, I was taking the bus. Wow. 7th grade, I was taking the bus sometimes, but when I wasn't, I was taking that metro. And then 8th grade, that's when I really started taking the metro.
Wow. Up as early as, or up earlier than 5 in the morning to get to the bus or to the metro station for 5:10. Wow. All right, man. Man, I wasn't getting up that early. I don't think I've ever gotten up that early to go to school. We were bussed. You know, I was bussed.
Well, I was bussed too, I'm saying. But if I missed a school bus, which I usually would, I would have to take the metro. And then the metro would take like another hour. So I would get up early and I'm missing the bus because sometimes they don't be waiting.
I'm just saying, you know, that takes discipline, you know. That takes discipline, and that also, kudos. Take my hat off to you, man. A young man jumping on the metro alone, going long distances. Here's something to think about. When I was in Korea, I learned about the young Koreans. Mm-hmm. Who would leave home 8 or 9 years old. Their families would send them to completely different countries. Oftentimes, they would send them from Korea to Canada.
Oh, wow.
And they would live with families in Canada to learn English, you know. So.
Just to learn English?
Just to learn English, to be competitive in this world. To be competitive, you know, and around the world, you know, people are making sacrifices for their, you know, children just so they can do what we're doing right now, to speak in this language. So we are very privileged, you know, we're in a very privileged position to be in America,
yeah,
of all countries, and to be, you know, when I moved to Korea, they gave me the title of a native English speaker, because all of my education was in English, you know, from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade and then to through college, all in English. There's no other way to define me than to say I'm a native English speaker, you know. That's the same thing with you. That's the same thing with many of us. And so when you leave America, then you discover the privilege that comes with that. You know, because there are so many people who are...
So many places that speak English.
So many people who are far removed from America, who want to be here and who want to, you know, communicate, you know, in English. So don't take that for granted, you know. So, yeah.
I think it's important to learn other languages, too, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's part of the humility that you mentioned. You know, becoming, you know, when you travel, there's a level of humility, you know, through learning about, you know, other people's history, but then also with languages, you know, you have to be humble enough to learn someone's language, because that will bring you closer to their culture, their history, and closer to them. You know. But you know what? Some people are like, I'm American. English is all that I need. I'll go to these other countries, do whatever I want. I don't care about their language. I don't care about their history, their culture. They're beneath me. I'm from America, the best, you know, country in the world.
And those ignorant people, they stay in America. And that's that, you know, they just stay in America.
So, but that humility, you know, being humble, will take you a long way. A
very long way.
People will embrace you, you know, and people will enrich your life, you know, when they do that. So, share and share alike. So it's still a sunny day in Los Angeles at Susan Miller Dorsey High School. I'm talking here with Amir. Anything?
Oh.
Anything you want to add?
Not really. If, I don't know.
Again, this is for, you know, posterity, you know. So you record this today, a week, month, years from now, you can come back and say, hey, I remember I recorded that. I have a recording that I made. It was a school project. Mm-hmm. I did it, I think I was in middle school. And I had my own radio station, and my cousin and I were talking like this, and we were recording. And I can go back and listen to that and just, like, I'm sort of embarrassed by it, but it's also, it's a record of that time, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and I have that. So that's what's up.
Yeah. I think it's nice to leave things for the, like, for the future. Leave things in the past for the future. Or, I don't think I said that right, but like you said, for posterity. Posterity.
Yes.
Posterity. Looking back on this, like, I probably will look back on this. And when I do, I hope everything that I said in this call or this, you know, podcast, I have achieved. And more, and what I'm thinking, everything I've been thinking, all my goals for this time, I hope that they have been achieved. If not, I hope I'm at a higher stage in that than.
I mean, we have so many, there's so many successful people
mm-hmm.
right here, you know, who have come through Los Angeles, who have come through Dorsey High School,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, you know, why not? You know, why can't you be just like them, one of them? Or why is it, you know, what do I want to say? Why not include yourself in that group, you know?
I'm going to be included in that group.
That's what I'm talking about. Just like that. All right. So this has been a IC109 podcast, rapping with Amir on this beautiful sunny day. In the city of Los Angeles. Peace and blessings.
Peace out.